Okay. We are studying the main idea of the Bible. The main idea of the Bible is the kingdom of God established on earth through the mediatorial rule of man. The kingdom of God established on earth through the mediatorial, through the medium of the reign of man. That was Adam's role. Adam today has some of that original commission, but he's lost a significant portion of it. So we have to wait for the establishment of the kingdom of God through not Adam, but through the last Adam, who is Christ, who's going to set up his kingdom in the millennium, and then that carries on over into the eternal kingdom. This is the theme that unites the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and it is an important tie. Now, we've seen how the kingdom of God has both an eternal and a temporal aspect. Eternally, God has always reigned, but he's establishing his rule on the earth, which has a temporal beginning. Okay? And it's through the kingdom of God in its eternal phase is immediate. It's God himself doing it. The kingdom of God on earth is through a mediator, which is man. First the first Adam, and then the last Adam. And you're familiar with that passage in 1 Timothy 2, 6, or is it verse 5, that there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. So we're going to be looking at that. We saw how it started out with an individual, Adam and Eve. Then it went to, that degenerated. It started off again with another man, Noah, and that degenerated and came to the first degeneration was the flood. The second one was the Tower of Babel. Then he chooses a family. He chooses a man and a family, which is Abraham, and that family has become a nation. And now that nation is formed down in Egypt, but the mediator, the leader of the kingdom of God on earth at this particular time turns out to be Moses, and we've been discussing his role as the mediator. He is the one that speaks for God. He is the one that makes judgments. He is the one that is their leader. He's the one, all of that. And as his role of mediator, he does two things. Number one, he speaks for God to the people. Number two, he speaks for the people, to God. So he does both things. And I think that the role of a pastor is that as well. A pastor should be not only someone who gets up and proclaims the word of God, but someone who prays and intercedes for the people. So that's why I try to spend time every day praying for you, either by name or by the group. I try to make sure that I always pray for the deacons and their wives because they're so faithful and they're good men and they're leaders. I pray for them. I always pray for them. And then I pray for some of you individually, maybe one day, maybe the next day, but try to include everybody during the week. Pray for everybody in the church specifically. So that's an important thing is mediation. But we've been studying Moses. We saw how Miriam and her brother Aaron were jealous of him speaking for God. They didn't like that. And then we saw Korah's rebellion two weeks ago, where they were wanting to be able to represent man before God. And that was not well received by God. So Moses has been faithful in his role of mediator. He is the leader. He's not the king, but he is the mediator, the leader of that seed, which is going to bring the kingdom of God. But we come now to a sad part in Moses' life. We see here, there we go, that Moses had great responsibility in his capacity as mediator, but unfortunately, he was not to rule in his own right. He was a mediator. He was the go-between between God and man. He didn't have authority in and of himself. He did what God told him to do. And then he represented the people before God. But he did at one point get out of line, and it cost him dearly. Let's look at that. Turn to Numbers chapter 20. We'll talk next week about the covenant that God made with the nation in Exodus 19 next week. But Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20 takes us to the 40th year of their wandering in the wilderness. When they first got out, they went up to Kadesh Barnea. And what happened at Kadesh Barnea that you remember? Okay, don't all speak at once. It kind of bothers me. What happened at Kadesh Barnea? Jerry, you know. They sent out the spies. They had the spies came back, and there was a majority and minority report. The majority report says we're pathetic, we can't take it. The minority report said God is great, we can take it. For that, they wandered in the wilderness for 38 years. Now, you know what the Bible says about that 38 years? 38-year period? Nothing. Now think about that. What is the significance of after Kadesh Barnea, they're told they're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and for 38 of those years you hear nothing. What does that imply to you? I'm sorry, what?
God's not with them.
They're wasted years. They are wasted years. They don't accomplish much. You've heard me say this before. You know what Moses did for 38 years in the wilderness? He led the children of Israel in the longest, chronologically and geographically, the longest funeral procession ever. I had it in my notes somewhere when I wrote my notes on Psalm 90. You want to know, can I confess a tragedy to you? I had spent some 35 hours on Psalm 90 to prepare a speech, so a sermon on it, and had about 80 some pages of notes on my computer. I went to my computer and, oh, here's Psalm 90, click. Gone. And there was much wailing in the camp. Okay. Here is I recorded somewhere how many stops they made. It boils down to about one a month, if I remember correctly. That's a lot of packing up and moving, packing up and moving, packing up and moving. And where we're going, no place in particular. The next stop, that's all. Wow. Okay. I don't know about you, but Moses at this point has to be tired. He's been in the harness for 40 years. He's had all sorts of problems from the very beginning. I don't know about you, and he's got millions of people he's leading around, 3 million people. That's a heavy responsibility for one man. Now, I don't know about you, but after 40 years of that, I think I'd be saying, Lord, I know this position is an honor, but don't you think somebody else should be honored for a while? Well, here at the end, after 40 years of faithful service, God takes him back to Kadesh Barnea. And they're still grumbling, and Moses loses it. Verse 2. Oh, by the way, Miriam died and was buried there. Okay? And later on, we're going to find in this chapter that Aaron's going to die. So this guy, he's lost his family. He's tired. I would be tired. Verse 2. Now there was no water for the congregation. Oh boy, here we go again. And they assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. Now they're still, you know what they're still doing after 40 years of God keeping them alive? What? Whining. I don't know about you, but after 40 years of that, you know, I'd get my belly full of that. And the people quarreled with Moses. Oh boy. And said, "Would that we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord. Why have you brought the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness that we should die here, both we and our cattle? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is no place for grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink." So they're still griping about Egypt, still complaining about the leadership of the gut they're doing, still griping. You know, we saw what they did this in chapter 32, Numbers 16, we saw it in Numbers 11. Just gripe. And I'm thinking of the passage in Philippians, the 2:12, do everything without murmuring or complaining. Man. Some people just never outgrow themselves. Well, look at verse 6. Then Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly, must have been a church business meeting, went from the presence of the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces. In other words, they prayed before God. Good intercessor, you're a mediator, so you're always going to God for a message. What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do in this situation? They didn't shoot from the hip. They didn't shoot from the lip. They went and prayed about it. Always good to do that before you open your mouth and commit yourself. Verse continues, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. So you shall bring water out of the rock for them and give drink to the congregation and their cattle. Now, this is interesting. God tells him to do something. God doesn't do it himself, but he tells Moses to do something. Moses is the mediator. And Moses took the staff from before the Lord as he commanded him. Now, this is the staff of Aaron that budded and was probably the staff by which the waters of the Red Sea were parted. Verse 10, then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock and said to them, hear now, you rebels, He's starting to get a little sharp with him, isn't he? Well, I can't blame him. Don't think he did the right thing, but I can't blame him. This guy's been well tested beyond any sign of endurance. He goes after them. Were they rebels? Yeah. Should he have said it? That's been the debate among commentators. But notice the next sentence. Shall we bring water for you out of this rock? A lot of people think he did wrong with that too. But notice what was said in verse 8. You shall bring water out of the rock for them. So he's not lying, nor is he necessarily grabbing glory. That wasn't his problem. And Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their livestock. Moses did it wrong, but the people were blessed anyway. There is a statement in Matthew. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not do this, that, and the other thing in your name? And the Lord didn't say, no, you didn't. He just said, I never knew you. You know what I find discouraging about Judas? The most terrifying thing about Judas that really makes me stop and think about me is that nobody had an idea that he was unregenerate. Nobody said, did you know when healing, Judas can't heal? Did you know, they didn't say, did you notice when Judas preaches, nobody believes? Do you notice how Judas has difficulty formulating the gospel clearly? Nobody said anything like that. They were all shocked when Judas was the one that was taken. It's amazing to me when I think about people who God used who later turned out to be rank unbelievers. Now, I don't want that to happen to me. Mm-mm. As you know, Ravi Zacharias apparently did a number of things for a number of years that got him into a lot of controversy. But nobody knew anything about it till he was dead. Then all of this stuff came out. I heard one prominent preacher recently say that Ravi Zacharias obviously was not born again. Now, how he knows this, I'm not sure. He said he never repented of his sin. We don't know that, because he kept doing it. But yet people were blessed. I prefer to leave the ultimate disposition of Ravi's soul to God rather than to speculate, other than to give a warning to all of us that we don't want this to happen to us. But God sometimes uses Balaam's ass to bring a blessing. I remember my professor telling about a friend of his who was saved under the teaching ministry of Rudolf Bultmann in Germany. And I said, Bultmann? How in the world could anyone get saved under Bultmann's ministry? He believed the gospel was a myth, that the miracles never happened. He didn't believe in a resurrection from the dead. How in the world could this guy get saved under the ministry of Bultmann? He said, because whenever Bultmann said, I don't believe this. The Bible says this, but I don't believe this. He said, I decided to believe it. Wow. Well, anyway, the congregation is blessed. And we see that the verse 12, and the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. Now, you will see some people say the reason why Moses didn't get into the land was because he insulted the people of God. That's not the reason. Or that he took credit for it. That's not the reason. Or that he smote the rock. The text tells us what the reason was. Do you see it in verse 12? Because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel. His job was to make God look good. He was the mediator. This goes into what we were saying here. He was the mediator. He was to uphold me as holy in the eyes. Smiting the rock and insulting the crowd and taking credit may have contributed to that, but the focus was that Moses didn't believe. Now, didn't believe what? By the way, the word rock here doesn't mean a huge stone. It means a cleft. So, I'm not sure quite. I think, a cleft, a huge cleft of rock. C-L-E-F-T. A huge thing. Side of a hill. Anyway, that is it. He didn't believe. Maybe because believed that the rock would give water, yeah, but anyway, it is very important that the pastor and the elders and the deacons always believe God and hold him up as holy. Yeah, that's our key. Make God look good. And so he is, verse 13, these are the waters of Meribah, where the people of Israel quarreled with the Lord. Meribah means grumbling. Now turn to Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter 3. Deuteronomy chapter 3. Moses is preparing Joshua to take over leadership. And we're going to see this in Deuteronomy 32. One of the most important things any leader does, the biggest test of leadership is being willing to turn it over to somebody else. Did you hear me? That's one of the hardest calls any leader makes. Knowing when to turn over the leadership to somebody else. The normal tendency is to want to die with your boots on. Well, you can do that, being faithful, but being in a position of leadership may not be the case. I've known a lot of people that stayed on too long because they just couldn't say no to themselves. I'm thinking of a famous Baptist pastor that had difficulty, great difficulty, turning over leadership to somebody else. It was just, that's the way it is. Look at verse 23. Moses now talks to God, and I pleaded with the Lord at that time. The word pleaded here implies continuous pleading. It's a progressive imperfect. He kept on pleading with God. Moses is having difficulty giving up his position. Deuteronomy 3, verse 23. O Lord God, you have only begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. Moses saw himself as a beginner. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do the works and mighty acts as yours? You're incomparable. Please let me go over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, that good hill country in Lebanon. Now he comments, that's what he said to God. But the Lord was angry with me because of you. and would not listen to me. And the Lord said to me, enough from you. Do not speak to me of this matter again. Go up to the Mount of Pisgah, which is opposite east of the Dead Sea, northern part of the Dead Sea. And lift your eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward, and look at it with your eyes, for you shall not go over this Jordan. But charge Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he shall go over at the head of this people, and he shall put them in possession of the land that you shall see. So we remained in the valley opposite Beth Peor. That's it. He pleaded and pleaded and pleaded. And he said no. That was his punishment for acting kind of independently. Now let's look at Deuteronomy 32. This will be our last passage, verses 44 through 52. Deuteronomy 32. Moses came and recited all the words of this song in the hearing of the people, he and Joshua the son of Nun. And when Moses had finished speaking all these words to Israel, he said to them, take to heart all the words by which I am warning you today, that you may continue them as your children, that they may be careful to do all the words of this law. For it is no empty word for you, but very life. No empty, it produces something. It's not just verbiage. And by this word you shall live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess. That very day the Lord spoke to Moses, go up this mountain to the Mount of Abarim, Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, opposite Jericho, and view the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel for a possession, and die on the mountain which you go up, and be gathered to your people, as Aaron your brother died in Mount Hor and was gathered to his people. Why? Because you broke faith with me in the midst of the people of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin, and because you did not treat me as holy in the midst of the people of Israel. For you shall see the land before you, but you shall not go there into the land that I am giving to the people of Israel. The role of mediator, the role of leadership, is extremely important. And it's important that he believes and obeys God and always seeks to exalt God, not man. Very important. So because of this is how this mediator, like all the mediators that we've seen so far, have failed. We're going to keep seeing a new mediator come up and failing, new mediator up. Joshua's going to take over. Then we're going to see the period of the judges. That's going to be a mess. The last judge, of course, is Samuel. Then you have a king. That all ends in and a mess with Babylonian captivity in 586. Then they're going to come back without the king, and they're still without a king, except Jesus Christ is going to be the final person who will succeed in establishing God's kingdom on earth. So the position is one of very, very high position, and you can see, as I said today, how the children of the Pharisees were busy making sure that the attention was directed to them. Something you have to be very careful of in any kind of spiritual leadership position, whether deacon or you don't, it's not about me. Not about me. It's about the position, yes, but not me. It is about the glory of God, yes, but it's not about me. And you have to take, you have to have that attitude. And congregations need to be taught that, and some pastors need to avoid being seen too highly. Are there any questions before we close? Moses has been a mediator. He represents God to man. He represents the people before God. But he cannot abuse that authority. He must always make God look good. Father in heaven, help us in this church to brag everlastingly on the Lord Jesus Christ and to make him look good in all things. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.